It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
All right, everybody. Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. It is August 8th, and we are here having a great Saturday morning. We've got Andy Wewell, junior in high school in a week or two, and Eagle Scout is out there on the phones, ready to take your calls and bring them to me and get you an answer. Today is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday, which means that, let's go, Stoop, get anything over there? Stump the Lawyer. There you go. A little weak, but that'll work. On Stump the Lawyer Saturdays, folks, we take any kind of legal question that you've got. Anything. It does not have to relate to estate planning. It doesn't have to relate to wills or trusts or probate or asset protection or special needs planning or any of that. You can just call, and I will do my best to get you an answer. You can just call, and I'll do my best to give an answer to an immigration question, a criminal law question, a family law question, what kind of questions are out there. Real estate law, we had a bunch of questions along the way about easements. I will give you an answer or do my best to give an answer about contracts, personal injury, anything to do with the law on a Stump the Lawyer Saturday is fair game. And you can call me, and our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. So if you're out there listening to this show or you've got a friend who's maybe not listen to this show, and you know they've got a question or a problem with the law, this is your opportunity to get a free shot at a free lawyer to get maybe some direction on this stuff. But that's why we call it Stump the Lawyer, because I don't know everything. I know that shocks most people out there, Snoop, but I don't know everything. So you may just stump me, and if you stump me, then you'll have the self-congratulatory feel of really putting one over on me. So give me a shot. I've been practicing law now for, holy cow, coming on 31 years. It's a long time, and I've done a lot in the law the last 12 years or so. It's been exclusively in estate planning. As you probably know, I'm board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. But I've done a lot along the way, and I don't mind trying to help you with your problems. So this is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Call in with your questions on any aspect of the law, any legal problem you've got, any curiosity that you want answered. And our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. And you can email me. Our email address is askbrad at wewell.us. So that's askbrad at wiewell.us. AskBrad at wiewell.us. Shoot me an email. I'll read your email over the radio, give you an answer, and hopefully get you on down the road. So this is, we don't do Stump the Lawyer Saturdays very often. This is your chance. Give us a call, 390-1370, 390-1370. All right. Last week, we had a caller who did a pretty decent job of stumping me. Along the way, and his question was about Social Security benefits for his new wife and how that might be affected because of the fact that he had been divorced prior to the marriage to his new wife, which is good because otherwise it would be bigamy. So we don't do that. So he got divorced, he got remarried, very common situation. He is now apparently looking to head into taking his Social Security, which you can start at 62 and get a partial benefit. And depending on your age, if you wait, you may be able, if you're old enough, you may be able to take your full benefit at 65. If you're not old enough, you'll have to wait till 66 to take your full benefit. And so I had Wilson Thanish, who is an ACE law clerk at our firm this summer. Wilson is going to be a third-year law student at SMU Law School in a couple weeks. Wilson did some research on this and came up with some great answers, and so let's start with that. And again, I'm going to remind you all, this is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Any kind of legal question, any curiosity, any frustration, any kind of anything to do with the law, we're happy to try to give you an answer to your question today at 390-1370, 390-1370. All right, so here it goes. If somebody remarries, will their new spouse be able to get Social Security benefits based on their the worker's Social Security rate? So in other words, let's say that I've been working and my new wife has never really worked or doesn't have enough credits paid into the Social Security system to get it on her own, that she will get some of my benefit when she turns 62 or older. And also, though, if she's also caring for my child, if my child is under 16 or disabled and receiving Social Security benefits. So the answer to the question, to a certain extent, is that new spouses are eligible to tack on to their new spouse's Social Security. I wish there was a better way to say that and make it clear. One spouse can tack on to their new spouse's Social Security benefit once the new spouse is 62 or if they're younger and caring for a child of the participant who's under 16 or disabled. And what's interesting is, and so this kind of goes to the heart of the question, if you were married before, your former spouse gets some of your Social Security benefits if they were married to you at least 10 years, have been divorced at least 2 years, is 62, and is still unmarried, and is not eligible for an equal or higher benefit on their own Social Security record or somebody else's record. So if it's a situation kind of like we had last week where we've got a gentleman who divorced, has an ex-wife, and has a new wife, and his question really kind of was, does my new wife get anything, or are my benefits and her benefits going to be reduced because of my previous divorce and the fact that my ex is going to be able to get some of my benefit? The answer is no. Your benefit, if you're the spouse who's remarried, is not going to be diminished because the Social Security system is going to pay out money to your divorced spouse. Your new spouse's Social Security benefit is not going to be reduced because the Social Security system is paying a benefit to your ex-spouse. Your ex-spouse is going to get a benefit if they've been married to you for 10 years, have been divorced for 2 years, and is at least 62 and unmarried. Your new spouse is going to get a benefit off your Social Security if they're at least 62 or caring for a child that's either under 16 or disabled. So this is a pretty good deal. Your benefit won't be reduced, nor will your exes be reduced, nor will your new spouses be reduced. So we got a lot of stuff going on out there, and Social Security, maybe this is why Social Security is kind of in a mess, because it looks like in this scenario that Wilson came up with, everybody's going to be able to get a piece of the action. Your new spouse, your ex-spouse, and you. Okay. Looks like I got a call on line one from Charles. Charles, this is Brad Wewell. This is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Any questions? A fair question. What's your question? I can't hear it, Charles. Charles, can you turn down your radio? If you can, then I can be happy to take your question. What do you think, Snoop?
Hello?
Charles, there you go.
Yes.
Hi, Brad Wewell. I appreciate you calling. What can we help you with this morning?
I've got a question about, in a child support situation, why is it that the father, I have a case here that I'm interested in knowing, why is the father not more responsible for time for the child after the court has been awarded, the paperwork's been done, and the mother seems to, like, have, in the paperwork, they have joint custody, but the father only gets the baby twice a week
or whatever.
2 hours a day only, so that's 4 hours a week, and it has to be supervised by the mother.
Well, it sounds like there was a problem in that original relationship or that the dad didn't get a good lawyer. Judges typically, I mean, how old is this baby?
15 months.
All right. Well, that's pretty old, frankly. I would say that that's either you negotiated that and you kind of, for some reason, agreed to that, or If you went to court, you know, there might have been some problem out there, Charles, or you didn't have a good lawyer. I mean, I don't know. A lot of things can happen in family court. You've got a younger child, and so courts are very reluctant to move a younger child away from its mother. Is it a little boy or a little girl?
It's a little boy, and it's pertaining to my girlfriend's daughter.
Okay.
And, you know, she has a boy, but her father only sees him twice a week for 2 hours a day, and the court said it has to be supervised. And I'm like, you know, it seems unusual that the baby can't go and spend some more time with his father.
Well, again,
and basically, she seems like she's pulling all of the load, and it just doesn't seem like there is. You know, I would have thought that it would have been a more equitable settlement in their child in this case, but it seems like he's just not. He's not even really part of the. You know, and I don't see where it's even gonna even work even hours.
Well, here's the deal. I did family law for a long time. Joint custody is a lot of window dressing, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And it works just like sole custody and what's called possessory custody, in that and women have the leg up in the family law system. There's just no two ways around it. And it looks like, from the facts that you've told me, first, we got a young child.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we may have a fairly immature dad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the judge or her lawyer, frankly, mm-hmm. Charles, mm-hmm. probably did a pretty good job of saying, Judge, you know, this guy's not Attila the Hun, but on the other hand, we got a 15-year-old child. He may not be great at changing diapers. He may not be great at feeding schedules. He may not be great at his living situation because he's got some old gal in there and we don't know who she is.
Right.
He's living with a bunch of buddies who drink beer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judge, you know, this is something that we want to have more control. It's certainly a problem in the sense that it will prevent the child from bonding with his father as much as ideally he should. But,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of one of the problems that you run into when you get divorced or you break up in the first place.
Right,
you know,
right.
The reason the kids from divorced families don't turn out typically as well as kids from nuclear families is because there has been a break in the relationship with one of the parents, typically the father. And, you know, it's just kind of how it is. And the mom, your girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
again, apparently her lawyer was pretty persuasive. Judge, let's hold off on this stuff. And as the child gets older, then either she or he can go back in and say, Judge, the kid's now three. Let's do more regular visitation. I want him on maybe Wednesday or Thursday night. I want him every other weekend for the whole weekend. I want him for a month in the summer. I want him for spring break every other year, whatever. And the judges are oftentimes open to that. And if he's got a good, stable life, then that's certainly a possibility. But, you know, it sounds to me like she's just this is what she wanted too, by the way, Charles, because it wouldn't be in there if she didn't want it. And that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles.
Well, yeah, I'll make this short. She did mention to me, you know, this is really what her she actually had an appointed type attorney,
sure.
and she kind of forced this plan on her. She
mm-hmm.
didn't. She almost said, "I had no say so." Basically, this is what they offered, and I had to sign it. I didn't even really know what exactly. You know, the girl's young, so
right.
And I was wondering, that makes a lot of sense. That really, the child probably is, given the situation, they probably did the right thing for now. So
right, and then, you know, I mm-hmm. mean, again, they can always, I mean, I'd look at the decree or have another lawyer look
mm-hmm.
at it. My mm-hmm. guess is that it also says, as the parties agree to this visitation schedule. So
right. mm-hmm.
if it says that, then she and he can get together and work out something where he has the baby a weekend by himself, maybe not. But with that supervision language in there, I would be surprised if it says that. But it might say that, and that will give the parties, the couple, more flexibility in trying to work out something, too. Because what I'm hearing is that you feel a little frustrated because she's got this baby all the time, and the baby's dad doesn't have the baby at all, and you'd like to go out with her on a Saturday night and go dancing, and you can't do that because...
Yeah, I'm basically taking the place of the father right now,
right.
and it's kind of frustrating sometimes.
Well,
but,
that's what you,
you
get
know,
again.
I've raised my kids, and they're off, and it's you know, I'm... and a new point in my life now, and you know, I want to know what the legal. I don't want her to get you know.
Well, you may want to think about getting another girlfriend. Tell you what, buddy, because you're biting off a lot right here, you know?
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a great weekend, Joe. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brad.
You bet. All right. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. You can call in with any kind of legal question that you've got, and I'm happy to answer it. We need to take a break, but I'm going to take Elizabeth before we go to the break. We've got Elizabeth on line two. It sounds like, Elizabeth, this is Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. What can I help you with? Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. I am a notary, and I work as a third party for some of these lenders, that are refinancing.
Uh-huh.
Give me one. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I am hired by not the lender, but a service that is hired by the lender as like a third party entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I am having a difficult time collecting my fee from the third-party company because I'm sure the lender has paid them.
Sure.
But I'm facilitating these so many of these internet-based re-signings or refinances that are taking place. So I'm like the notary that shows up to you know,
sure,
facilitate the actual signing. I'm just wondering how, you know, I don't know if I can file a lien against the third-party company. I'm just trying to find out that I can get the attention of the company that has failed to pay me and theft of service, basically.
How much have you, do they owe you right now?
And doggone it, I can't hear you.
How much do they owe you right now?
Say that one more time.
How much money do they owe you?
It's not that much. That's why it's $150. So it's a principal thing. But if I hadn't caught it quickly, I mean, some of these companies call me several times. So I mean, it can be a situation later on that it is going to monetarily be a larger amount. So
well,
I'm
let me just kind of cut
find
to...
out how I can move forward if the, you know, situation comes up again.
Let me just cut to the chase.
One's a little bit more than that, but they're both nominal amounts at this point.
Okay, Elizabeth, quit working for them. I mean, you need to call them. Well, no, I mean, you're working for free. You need to call them or write them and say, unless this bill is paid by a certain date, you're not going to go out for them again. I mean, you know, it's just kind of that simple. And you give them a deadline, and you email that to whoever the supervisor is. You call them and leave that message. You tell them that, you know, I mean, if you want to, I'll continue working for you up to, you know, August 15th, August 21st, August 31st, whatever. But if your bill isn't paid in full by then, that you will not work for them anymore, and you'll go do something else. I mean, that's just... You know, $150, I mean, you're right. This is starting a pattern here. And these big companies from probably out of state certainly don't mind you doing all the notary work and certainly don't mind not paying you on time. And you just need to be firm with them or go get another job.
Well, and I have certainly not done any more work with them and communicated in writing and sent. I've got it set up in QuickBooks as a, you know, kind of a small business thing. So sent statements. I mean, I've got all the written documentation, but they and obviously I'm not going to be doing any more work for them until they pay this. But they is there any way, like, what about the intent to lien? Not actually, because I do have another business, and I know that sometimes gets the attention just as a ploy to you know, make them wake up a little bit, realizing, you know, she's not kidding anymore. I mean, I've sent numerous written documentations trying to get settlement on this.
I don't think that you should waste any more time on this thing. I think that they beat you out of $150. There is no lien procedure. I mean, you'd have to have some property that you could lien on here. I mean, you would know that there's a bank account. You would know that there's a piece of real estate that they own that you can go and put a prejudgment garnishment against, which is expensive, and you couldn't do that by yourself, or you're going to file some sort of a lien in the deed records, which could subject you to liability for slander of title. I mean, I think that you just got kind of screwed out of $150.
Right.
And, I mean, you could take them to small claims court, which is another avenue that you've got. And if it's an out-of-state company, then they have to be registered in Texas. And at the Secretary of State's office, there will be a registered agent for service listed. You can go to your Justice of the Peace court, file a small claims action, and try to get a judgment against them that way. And, you know, that might get their attention and get you paid, but it's probably going to cost you $90 or $100 in Justice of the Peace court to file the small claims court to get $150 back, which you may not ever see.
Okay.
So sometimes you just have to let it go.
Well, and I understand. I just know that, you know, it's happening more and more, these signings. And if I should come across it again, if I can be proactive and know that, you know, they have certain steps to try and avoid this, then, you know, obviously I want to do that. But thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, hold on one second. I think the steps that you need to take, if you can take any steps, first of all, is to let them know right up front, and maybe to have something in writing for them or something you send to them that you're to be paid in 2 weeks and 15 days from the date of the notary thing. And if you're not, then you're not going to work for them until you're paid. And so you put them on a shorter leash so that you don't get so deep into them and they're not, I mean, you know, there's a limited number of notaries out there that are willing to do what you're going to do. And so you are a valuable commodity to them, and you just need to put them on a short leash and never let anybody get into it too deep and realize that there are cheats and shysters out there at the corporate level just like there are cheats and shysters at the individual level, and try to find the ones that are going to pay you and work with them and tell everybody else to put it where the sun don't shine. All right?
Right. Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Elizabeth. All right. We need to take a break. Our call-in number, this is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Any legal questions, a good question. We've got a couple good questions so far. Andy Wewell's out there ready to take your calls, and we're going to be at 390-1370, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right, welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We're here on a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. So you can call in with any kind of legal question that you've got and try to stump me, and I am more than willing to be stumped. But so far, so good today. I've gotten two calls, one on child support and visitation issues, one on kind of a small claims collection issue. So anything to do with that, anything to do with criminal law, again, family law, real estate law, immigration law, oil and gas law. Holy cow, what else is out there, Snoop? Employment law, you name it, trial law, personal injury law. We are open for business this morning. We got Andy Wewell out there, Eagle Scout, and soon to be junior in high school. He's going to take your calls. He's going to bring them to me. I'm going to read your question or talk to you on the phone and get you going on this thing. So 390-1370, 390-1370, and you can email me with your question, too, at askbrad at wewell.us, askbrad@wiewel.us. This is your chance to get your questions answered about anything to do with the law today. It's a complex, frustrating, and oftentimes scary deal, and I'm sorry that it is, and sometimes I feel like the messenger gets shot when I have to give an answer that I've got to give. But it is what it is, and I don't mind giving you some direction today. So again, 390-1370, 390-1370. I want to talk briefly about the Wewell Law Firm, and we have got two offices right now, and we're opening our third one September 1st. We have an office in Austin at 1601 Rio Grande, which is near downtown but not all the way downtown. We have an office in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive, which is right on Williams Drive between I-35 and Sun City. We are opening an office September 1st in Horseshoe Bay, which is out by Marble Falls to serve the Highland Lakes area. And so we're going to be taking appointments there starting September 1st. And I'm board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. And we have three other great lawyers at our law firm. We have Doug Paul. And Doug does kind of our complex planning, and he also does our will planning for folks who just need a will and kind of want to get it and go. Candace Bocock does a fabulous job with our probate and trust administration section. So if you lost a loved one, we do a fabulous job of helping you through the complexities and frustrations and scariness that comes with dealing with the legal issues after somebody's died. And then we have Steve Van Winkle, who really does a fabulous job with helping our folks who, and maybe you are concerned about running out of money, maybe you're looking at a nursing home issue and really want to plan for their elderly relatives to get them in a situation where they get the care that they need, but they don't have to spend all the money they have. So that's the We Will Law Firm. We have our phone number is 480-8828, 480-8828, and that's our office in Austin. Georgetown is 869-1435, 869-1435. We don't have a Horseshoe Bay number yet, but when we do, I'll let you know that too. And all meetings at our offices are by appointment only, but we are happy to help you any way we can. And we don't charge for the first visit unless it's relating to an elder law matter. So you can come in with your will and we'll look at it. You can come in with an old trust. You can come in when somebody's passed away. You can come in with nothing. Come as you are. We certainly see plenty of people who come in and say, Brad, this is the first time we've done any planning. What are our options? And we're happy to sit out at no cost and help you kind of through those complexities. And if there's a fit, then we usually will use a fixed fee. And if for some reason there's not a fit, there won't be a charge for that visit. So give us a call. We Will Law Firm, again, 480-8828. Georgetown is 869-1435. And we have a great website. And our website is texastrustlaw.com, texastrustlaw.com. We've got articles on there. We've got a library. We've got a glossary. And you can listen to old shows. We also have 81 two-minute videos on different estate planning topics. You can go there, learn about some estate planning issues, and hopefully help yourself and your family when you need that. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. We got a call, looks like on line one, from Susan. Susan, thanks for your call. What can I help you with this morning?
Well, I got a survey from the Census Bureau that's like 25 pages long that they just insist that I fill out. It's very intrusive. And I want to know if, I mean, you know, they're just threatening all kinds of things here. Do I have to fill this thing out?
They are threatening things? I mean, it's like, so they've sent you a fact finder, I guess, huh?
Yes, I think it's called ACS. It's American Community Survey, I think.
All right.
I mean, it's asking questions like, what insurance company do you use? How much money do you pay for insurance? How much money is your electric bill? How, you know, this is, you know, very private things, in my opinion.
I don't think you have to answer.
It says on the front that you have to have it, and they have people calling me because I won't answer it, telling me that that they could possibly arrest me for this and fine me for this. And, I mean, it's horrible.
Wow. Well, I'm on the Internet right now looking at the American Community Survey. Tells us what the population looks like, data release. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not aware of this program. And there's an 800 number you can call, by the way. You probably have that on your form, too.
Yes, and they insist I have to fill it out, yes.
Wow. Well, what does it
now,
say? Do you have to sign it at the bottom?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the form in front of you?
No, I don't have it right in front of me right now.
I'm wondering if there's a place, you know, with if they insist you have to fill it out, I guess you do. I don't know. I mean, again, this is, you are kind of stumping me on this, Susan. But at the bottom where you may need to sign, you know, on tax returns, it says that under penalty of law, you're swearing this information is all true and correct and blah, blah, blah. You know, you may want to fill it out to the best of your ability and send it in and not sign it or... you know, maybe I guess they're going to track your name and make sure they know how to find you too. So I guess for some reason you're going to put your name on it someplace. I'm just wondering if about the accuracy of the information that you have to provide them too.
That's actually covered in there, and it says it must be accurate, or they can still find you or arrest you.
Wow. Well, I guess I'd fill it out and send it in. I don't know what else to tell you other than. You know, it just sounds like you're right. It sounds like a true invasion of your privacy. And you know, I guess some government bureaucrats going to know a whole lot more about you than you thought maybe that you would ever want them to know. And, you know, but I don't know if there's any other way around it. If you, I mean, I guess you may want to call, where do you live at in Austin?
I live in South Austin.
All right. It may be that Doggett is your congressman.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that somebody else is. I know that Cornyn, Senator Cornyn, has an office here in Austin. I would call them.
Okay.
Call Cornyn's office, and you spell Cornyn, C-O-R-N-Y-N. And
yes.
I would call his office and say, look, you know, what's the deal with this? And I don't want to sign it. It's way too private information for any government bureaucrat to have about me. And is there any, am I required to, you know, blah, 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 and see what they say too.
Okay, great.
And they may be able to, I mean, you may not have a way around it, but Cornyn's office, again, he's been on the show a couple of times that I know him personally. I would think that they would want to be responsive to your concerns. And my guess is, you know, again, maybe they can put the kibosh on this thing going forward. Let me give you his local number. I've got it right here, too.
Okay.
It's 469-6034.
Okay.
469-6034. And you're not going to be the only listener we have getting this really invasive thing. And so I would call him and see what they tell you to do. And then, again, if you have to, you have to. But hopefully you don't. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Appreciate your call. All right. Good. All right. I call that kind of a stump. News to me. But, again, out there, folks, you've got the Census Bureau. And the Census Bureau goes on year-round. They don't just take the census in years that begin with zero. They've got to justify their little existence out there. They are a bureaucracy, and so they are apparently sending out forms that sound really invasive, and Susan certainly thought it was about a lot of personal information. So if you get that, again, I would suggest you call your congressman, call your senator, complain about it, see what they say. But it, you know, you may have to fill it out. Because the Census Bureau's job is to collect data on Americans, and originally it was, it's in the Constitution, by the way. They were to take a census every 10 years, and that'll be coming up in a year, next year, 2010. So the enumerators, usually that's what they're called, will go out, and you've got to be counted if they're out there. But providing this other personal information sounds a little over the top, but I don't know. You know, again, you may have to, and if you have to, you have to. So thanks, Susan, for your call. That was a great call. Okay, we're taking calls this morning. 390-1370, 390-1370 on anything to do with the law. Census law, it sounds like. New one on me. Family law, small claims action. You've got a neighbor that's driving you crazy. They've got a dog that's driving you crazy. You can also email us. Email address is Brad, askbrad at wewell.us, askbrad at wiewel.us. And our call-in number this morning is 390-1370, 390-1370. Let's take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to take some more calls and hopefully hear from you about your legal question, and we'll be right back.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are playing Stump the Lawyer today. So any kind of question that you've got about the law is fair game, and I'll do my best to give you an answer. And looks like we've got Rajesh on the phone. Rajesh, this is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. I appreciate you calling. What is your question?
Morning, Brad. My question is, I live north of Austin, and almost 5 weeks back, I signed a contract to buy a home, and everything was put down in paper and all those things, finished my decor and gave the 50% of the other upgrades money, $80,000 worth of upgrades
right.
that I've paid, and the check also got encashed. Now the builder comes back and is asking, oh, you know what, this is $15,000 that we forgot to put in, and that is a must to have for XYZ upgrade, so you have to pay that. But that upgrade I have included in the contract and signed it.
Okay, so, well, so you feel like they're coming back and trying to double dip on you a little bit.
Yeah, kind of.
Yes, it sounds like they definitely are. You know, you've got a couple of options, Rajesh. I mean, one is, again, you just refuse to pay it and you stand your ground and, you know, you appeal to them as a decent company. Is it a big builder or a smaller builder?
It's a big builder.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because with big builders, they tend to be more responsive, and you don't have to worry about them filing bankruptcy or not as worried about them filing bankruptcy. I mean, my concern if you're dealing with a smaller builder would be they're teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. They take your check and they're gone. They file bankruptcy and you're really out of the money. So I think that what I would do is try to go up the chain of command at the company and talk to somebody who's above the person that you're talking to and explain to them what the deal is. If worse comes to worse, then I think you may need to hire a lawyer and have them, you know, threaten some legal action or demand that they follow the terms of their contract. Now, these contracts with these builders are pretty complex things, and they are written for the benefit of the builder, not the benefit of the prospective homeowner. So you're going to have to, perhaps seek some legal counsel. And if you need somebody, give us a call at the WeWell Law Firm. We don't do that kind of law, but we know some lawyers that could help. But it may take a threatening letter to stop these shenanigans. But it may be also that the person that you were dealing with didn't know that these were included or thought that, they were included. And their boss said, what the heck are you doing? You should have charged him extra for these particular things. I don't know, but it may take a threatening letter from a lawyer to get them to move. But I would, before you go spending money on a lawyer, again, try to work your way up the chain of command. See what you can find out. There is, and just to let you know, Rajesh, there is an Austin outfit called the Austin Dispute Resolution Center.
Okay.
And what they do is they try to mediate between parties, and it's supported by the county, and they will send a letter to the builder and set up a time for you and the builder's representative to sit down and try to work things out. It's a very inexpensive process, and they're in the business of doing that for a lot of people. So if you'd like to, let me give you their number, and if I can find it here, yep. It's 371-0033.
Okay, 371-0033.
Right, it's the Dispute Resolution Center of Austin, and I would call them on Monday and tell them about the problem because you've also kind of got a time bind because you're ready to move forward with your house and get in and settle in and all that, and you're kind of frustrated because of this issue. But I would call them, too, while you're also in the process of trying to work your way up the company hierarchy to get some resolution with this thing. If they won't do it or if the Dispute Resolution Center mediation's a voluntary process, and they may say, we're not going to do it, then you're going to get stuck hiring a lawyer to send a threatening letter, and hopefully that'll take care of it. And if it doesn't, then you're going to have to figure out what your other options might be.
Yeah, Brad. One other question is, like, in the contract, it does say the contract is not executed unless it's been signed and agreed by the builder higher authority.
Sure.
So if that is the case, still do I have any case that I could fight against this?
Yes,
builder?
I think you do. You've got the contract that you had or the bid sheet that shows what's included in the money you paid, right?
Yes.
And you also wrote them a check that they cashed, right?
Correct.
Right. That's a binding agreement regardless of whether they've actually signed it or not. I mean, the law is not going to let somebody take your money, cash your check, have a written paper showing a receipt basically of what you paid for, and they come back and say, hey, sorry, we didn't agree. There are requirements that they're going to have to follow, and the law will have a remedy out there. It may be the remedy is, here's your money back, buddy, and go find another house. I mean, honestly, that could be what they tell you to do, in which case they really try to squeeze you and you have to make a tough decision. But, Rajesh, I think if I were you, I would work my way up the corporate ladder, be nice but firm, contact the Dispute Resolution Center on Monday and see if they think they can help you too, and then if worse comes to worse, get a lawyer and have them step in and try to shake some trees over there, okay?
Okay. Listen, thank you, Brad, for your advice.
Well, it's my pleasure, Rajesh. Have a great weekend. All right.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, great. Stump the Lawyer Saturday. A lot of fun, rock and roll. Next week we'll be back on taking kind of more general questions on estate planning issues, which there are always plenty of those out there too, folks. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today and hopefully give you some advice and some direction in some areas of your life. If we can help you at the WeWell Law Firm, again, we've got two, soon to be three offices in Austin, Georgetown, and soon to be Horseshoe Bay. The first meeting is typically complimentary. Meetings are by appointment only, so you need to give us a call and set up an appointment, but we're happy to hear from you too. Our website is TexasTrustLaw.com, TexasTrustLaw.com. And our phone number is 480-8828, 480-8828. Okay, today is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday. We can help you on this side of life. We cannot help you on the other side of life, so you need to get to the bottom out of bed and go to church tomorrow. Pray for the country. Heavens knows the country needs it. And you'll be a better person for going, and everybody else will be a better person that you've gone to. So have a great week, and I'll see you next week on Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad Wewell.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.
Okay, birthday girl, time to rise and shine.
What a sweet surprise, breakfast in bed. Thanks, honey.
I got another surprise for you later today.
Does it involve visiting a jewelry store?
Nope, a lawyer. Your present is going to be planning for the future.
Just make sure there's a new watch in it, okay?
I'm Brad Wewell for the Wewell Law Firm. If you haven't created a will or a living trust for your estate yet, the time to act is now. Inheritance taxes are changing this year, and even an existing will or trust needs updating to ensure that your wishes are honored and to prevent the IRS from becoming your estate's biggest beneficiary. Software wills and out-of-state plans can create more problems than they solve. That's why it's important to contact the Wewell Law Firm. I'm board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. All meetings are by appointment only, and your first visit is always free. We have offices in Austin and Georgetown. Call 480-8828 to schedule your free appointment, or go online to TexasTrustLaw.com. The Wewell Law Firm, the peace of mind people.